Jerry Doyle Show.
As you know, General Motors has been in the news lately and in front of congressional hearings with regard to the 2.6 million vehicle recall with regard to faulty ignition, airbag non-deployment, and 13 related deaths. Now, this is something that's been going on for a long time at General Motors. They have a new CEO, the first woman heading up that company, the first woman, the head of any major automobile manufacturer. And as I'm reading the tea leaves on this one, folks, it looks like most of the people who are on the board of General Motors or the previous CEOs of General Motors are the Sergeant Schultz of the automobile industry with regard to the recall. I know nothing. Now, apparently, everybody missed it. And now that the first woman is heading up General Motors, it seems that she's the one that's taken all the heat. The question is, was this a Mahogany Row setup? Anita Findley joining us on the program, actress, blogger, EpicTimes.com contributor, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, a book that spent 4 months in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. Anita, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jerry. Good to be back with you. How are you?
I'm all right. I know nothing. That seems to be in reading.
Oh, you know everything.
And, you know, in reading your piece at EpicTimes.com, was Mary Barra set up to take the fall at General Motors? You went back and looked at the timeline about all of these people at General Motors that nobody saw this. And apparently they hired her without anybody knowing anything about any of these problems. And lo and behold, the first woman CEO sitting there getting grilled by Congress.
Well, you know, it is mighty conspicuous. And one of the things that I pointed out in my piece, there was something, an article written by Melanie Maynard over at Forbes. And she was saying, no, this isn't sexism. It would be so sexist to determine that they would pick a leader on this basis. But, you know, no matter how qualified Mary Barra is, and she is a trained engineer and has a master's in business administration from Stanford and has worked at GM since 1980 as an intern. So clearly she's qualified to be the CEO, but that's not the point here. That's not why she's conspicuously in front of Congress literally 2 months after she got this appointment. You know, Mr. Wagoner, who was the CEO from 2000 to 2009, lost 90% of the valuation of the company and still got something like a $12 million, you know, golden parachute on the way out. And then Mr. Ackerson, who was also chairman and CEO before her, he supposedly, and I don't want to, you know, disparage him in any way, he resigned because his wife is dealing with stage 4 lung cancer, and this is horrible. But at the same time, this is also of interest. He's not actually a resigned or retired person because he took a job with the Carlyle Company as their vice chairman.
Right.
So it's not like he's sitting around doing nothing. So all of those factors together add up to something rather conspicuous. Oh, first we're touting, we're so wonderful, we're hiring the first woman, and then she gets to sit before Congress when she was somebody who, although she works at a company with 300,000 employees, she was not privy to this information. But you're not going to tell me that the former CEOs were not. That's just not possible, that they didn't know this recall when there were problems dating back 10, 12 years or more, that they had no idea this was coming down the pike. It's ridiculous.
Right, it is. And let me give you some stats to back that up, Anita. This from today's Wall Street Journal, U.S. fines General Motors for missing recall deadline. General Motors, the company said in a statement, has produced nearly 21,000 documents totaling over 271,000 pages through a production process that spans a decade and over 5 million documents from 75 individual custodians and additional sources. So you would have to think that somebody in that company near Mahogany Row or on Mahogany Row touched one of those 5 million documents, of which they produced 271,000. And to have everyone sitting around just going, did you know anything about the I didn't hear anything about the no, not me. You? No. And somehow none of those 5 million documents were touched by anybody who was in a position that would be held accountable except for the new CEO.
What's also terrible about this is Mary Barra is very qualified to sit at that chair, but she is the unfortunate soul who now has to sit by herself without benefit of these other people who I think are more liable, certainly, than she, having 2 months of tenure there. And while any chief executive has to answer for their company, you're the face of the company, that's your job. But it's sort of ridiculous. And then you have Senator Barbara Boxer and Senator Claire McCaskill, you know, two of my favorites, getting up there and giving her a hard time, and even Senator Boxer being sexist, saying, well, woman to woman, as a woman, I'm very disappointed, as if to say if a man was sitting there behaving like this, it would be okay, or it would
right.
be expected.
Yeah, you wrote that.
Oh, no, you must be perfect. It's ridiculous.
Barbara Boxer says, I'm quoting what you said here, I am very disappointed, really, as a woman to woman, I am very disappointed because the culture you are representing here today is a culture of the status quo. So apparently only men, I guess, in Barbara Boxer's mind, are deemed to be of that caliber or lack thereof. And she was expecting more from a woman, as if she doesn't expect much from men. But then laying this at her feet and saying, you know, you're supposed to do something different. You're supposed to be, because you're a woman, you're held to a higher standard. And as a woman, I'm disappointed in you as a woman. So when you can look at the notion that men can be sexist towards women, now you've got a woman that's being sexist towards a woman. It's just bizarro land.
Well, it is bizarre for a number of reasons. But, you know, when you're talking about, they're talking about the culture of the status quo. And when Mary Barra was first appointed, that was one of the first things she said, that she's looking to change the culture there. But, gee, Manise, give the woman more than 2 months to do it. So this
right.
struck me, you know, beyond the obvious sexism and beyond what I see is, Ms. Barra being set up here, even though I can't prove that. You know, I don't have access to their private documents. But the fact of the matter is, you know, if you have to change the culture, you have to give a person a chance to make that change. So she's kind of getting a double whammy here. It's like if you set someone up to fail by saying, well, here's the same old culture, how can you make that determination when she's only been there for 2 months? And the other point I wanted to make is that since we bailed out, we being the government, bailed out General Motors, and this is a huge black eye, to say the least. This is a horrible tragedy that this has been linked to 13 deaths and how many car crashes. So, you know, am I off base here, Jerry, that this is a way for them to grandstand and distance themselves from GM and how angry and disappointed
they are? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, I got to take a break.
Part of this?
And America's number one automotive radio personality, Bob Long, also agrees that it's very suspicious that Mary Barra was promoted at the time that she was. When we get back, Anita Finley's going to join us to talk about Equal Pay Day and the Paycheck Fairness Act. That, a couple of executive orders from President Obama when we return. Stick with us.
This is the Jerry Doyle Show.